Today's shiur is daf Pei Aleph, and we're going to begin at the Mishnah, at the beginning of Pei Aleph. I'm an Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Etzem, how much bone do you carry out on Shabbos to be chayv for Hatzor, as we've been discussing for the last couple of blot? Could they last as tarvid? The amount you need to make a spoon. Rabbi Huda says the amount is could they last as menuchof. The amount that you need to make a lock. Sechuchis, glass, k'day ligra by Rosh HaKarka. Rosh HaKarka is that they had a stick that they used in the weaving process, that if different threads or different material got tangled up, they had like a pointy tip, and that's how they untangled it. So the amount of glass you need to sharpen the top of that stick. Tsurora Evan, a stone or a clump of earth. Kedei Lizrik Ba'if, the amount you need to throw at a bird if you want to chase it away. Rabbi Lezer, Ba'yakov Oimer, Kedei Lizrik Ba'hema. So the way Rashi explains, Rabbi Lezer Ba'yakov holds that the amount to throw at a bird would be too small, and therefore they say an animal. So the Mishnah began with the shear of bone, with the Tanakhama saying the amount that you need to make a spoon, and Yehuda says the amount you need to make a lock. And we discussed yesterday already that the Gemara always holds that Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer. Rabbi Yehuda has the smaller shear. Ask the Gemara, lememra the shear, the Rabbi Yehuda nafish, are we going to end up with a situation where Rabbi Yehuda has a larger shear? Hakaimlon, we know, as we've been speaking, the shear the Rabbanan nafish. The Rabbanan always have the larger shear, and therefore they become the mekilim, because the larger the shear, the bigger mekel you are. Ula says you're right. When the Mishnah says a lak, he doesn't mean the whole lak. It means chafi paiseches, only the teeth that are in the lak, which is a small amount, which is smaller than a spoon. Tanabaran, so Gemara quotes a braisa that speaks about laks for a moment. Chafi paiseches, if you have the teeth of a lak, tahirim, they are items that are not susceptible to tumah. Kovin b'peisachas, but once you put them into a lak, temeim, they are susceptible to tumah. Why? So there's two ways of learning. One way is because they're part of the lak, and since the lak is something that has a clay kibble, since the lak is something that has a receptacle, so therefore the teeth that become part of that lak have the same halacha. Or another pshat is that by kli etzem, by bone, even if they don't have a kli kibble, if they're useful, they're mekabel tumah. V'shagal, but if you put a lock on a door, afa pisha chibrim bedelis, even though you put them onto the door, the kavim asmerim, and you nailed it in, tahirim, they still are not susceptible to tumah. Why? Shekol mechubal kaka, anything attached to the ground, harei kaka, has the same halacha as the ground. And we know that anything that's karka is not mekabel tumah. So a lak that's attached to something that's not mekabel tumah will also not be mekabel tumah, will not be susceptible to tumah. There is an interesting shaila from the Chazon Ish. Here we're saying that anything that's attached to something that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tumah, because something that's karka is not mekabel tumah. As the Chazon Ish, there's another halacha, that if you have a container that's very large, it's so large that it holds more than aboim saw, it's not mekabel tumah. Will the same din apply, asked the Chazon Ish, that if you have a lak attached to that kind of a container, that just like a lak attached to something mechubal karka is not mekabel tumah, will have the same halacha that a lak attached to a container that's larger than aboim saw will also not be susceptible to tumah, or will that be different? Continues the Gemara. It leaves with tzarchin. Schuches k'day ligraba. The glass, we said, the shear was to sharpen the top of this stick that was used to untangle the threads. Tana, so the Brisa says schuches, and like Rashi points out, schuches with a samach and zechuchis with a zayin is really both the same, it's glass. Why is it sometimes called with a samach? Because samach means soch, to see. You see through glass, or you can use glass as a mirror. Could they lift soya? How big is the stick? Could they lift soya by shnei nim kachas? Get it, could untangle two threads. Continues the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah, tzrora even, the size of a clump of earth or stone, could they lizard by, if the mat that you throw at a bird. If the lezard, could they lizard with behemoth? Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Yochanan, v'ushma geshespa. You have to throw it, and the animal shall feel it. So the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is like this: you know, if you'll throw something at an animal, even if it doesn't actually hit the animal, but the noise may startle the animal. So the Rishonim say that that won't be the shear. The shear is that it has to actually hit the animal, and the animal shall feel it. The kama shiuroi. Well, how big is that? Tanya Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Omer. Mishkla Sarzos, the white of a Sarzos. Now we begin a sugya, which is an interesting sugya. We begin the sugya of, it's hard to say it in a nice way, about how one cleans himself when he uses the bathroom. They lived in a very different world. We have paper with which we clean ourselves. They use stones. And the Gemara discusses a lot of aspects of these shilas. Obviously, most significantly, as it relates to Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Zunan Ola Bei Midrasha. Zunan came to the Beis Medrash, Amal Rabbeisai, and he said to them, Rabbeisai, Avarish Beis HaKisei, the stones of the Beis HaKisei, Shi'urim Bekama. How big are they? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta that stones are generally muksa. So you shouldn't be allowed to take stones to use to clean yourself in the bathroom. But the Gemara is asking that because, as we will learn, Kavod HaBrius, Chazal relaxed their isser of carrying stones on Shabbos if you need it in the bathroom, and they wanted to know how many may you carry, and Chazal said it's mutter. Amloi, so he told them, Kazayis, Ke'egoiz Ukebeya. One stone could be the size of a Kazayis, the other one is Egoiz, is a nut that's a little bigger, Ukebeya, the third one is a little bigger, it's the size of an egg. And the way Rashi explains, it was a series, it was a whole process. First you started with a small stone, then you used a bigger one, and then even a bigger one. Omaloi, so he told him, Chitrutni Yachnas, so the person is going to take a scale along with him to measure the stones all the time. That's why Nimra, the Gamru, Molaheyah. They decided that the shear is, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, you're allowed to take as many stones as you can fit into your fist. There's no number. If they're big, you could take less. If they're small, you could take more. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Kazayis, Ke'egoiz, Kebeya. Rabbi Yossi says the shear is these three stones, one the size of an olive, one the size of a walnut, one the size of an egg. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishim Aviv, Maloy Hayad, a fistful. So as I explained, Rashi says the shaila here is as far as muksa. No other isser is permitted just to carry the stone. Tosis says that not only will we permit muksa, but also we will permit carrying when it's only Issa Drabonin. That means, let's say you want to carry less than Dalar Amis, less than 4 Amis from Shusha Rabim, which we learned is only Midrabonin, or carrying from a Carmelist to Shusha Yochid, carrying from a Carmelist to Shusha Rabim, which is only Drabonin. Taisa says, just like we relaxed Issa Muksa, we will relax that Issa also. We relax all the Drabonins because of this. And we'll talk about that a little more later. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Gimel Avonim Mukruzolois, this is a type of stones that were used in the bathroom. Mutal Hachnas Beis HaKisei, a person could carry into the Beis HaKisei. The Kamishurim, how big may they be? Rameyayim Ke'egois, they could be the size of a walnut. Rabiudayim Ke'beya, they could be the size of an egg. Omer Ram from Bapapa, Omer Rav Chizda. Kamachloikis Kan, just like we have a machloikis here, what is the permissible size of the stone that could be used in the bathroom, to be carried to the bathroom? Kach machloikis besreg, we have the same machloikis in Masech the Sukkos, what is the minimal size of an esreg? Where one mandama says it has the minimal size is a walnut, and the other mandama says the minimal size is an egg. Ask the Gemara, Hossam masnisan, hocha braisa. The shayla Masech the Sukkah, how big the esreg must be, is a Mishnah. Our Gemara is a Braisa. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is like this. Mishnayis, they all knew. Braises, sometimes they knew, sometimes they didn't know. So we're saying that just like we have a machlokes here, we'll also have a machlokes in Masechta Sukkah. But the machlokes in Masechta Sukkah is a Mishnah that everybody knows. Here we're dealing with a braisa that not everybody necessarily knows. Says the Gemara, you're right. Al machlokes be'esrig, just like we have a machlokes be'esrig, which is a Mishnah Masechta Sukkah that everybody knows. Says the Gemara, kach machlokes kan, we have a similar machlokes which may not be as well known here in a braisa regarding the stones for the bathroom on Shabbos.
What's the link between the two
cases? The same size.
No,
the
no,
size.
But why
just a way to remember, because they learned Torah Shabbat, they remember that way. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Avalayas a pious. You're not allowed to take pious to cleanse yourself with on Shabbos. My pious, what is pious? Amar Rav Zeira, Kishina Bavavalaysa. It's the earth above them. So Rashi explains, why may you not take that? So Rashi said because it crumbles. The earth above it crumbled. So anyway, it won't be useful to clean yourself with. So it stays muksa and you're not allowed to carry it. Omer Rava. So now Rava says another halacha. Osla mashmish b'tzorah b'shabbos. If a person had to use the bathroom, he was somewhat constipated. What they did was they used to take a stone, a sharp stone, and that's how they opened up the rectum. So halacha is osla mashmish b'tzorah b'shabbos. You're not allowed to use that stone on Shabbos, kederach shemashu b'chol, like you do it during the weekday. Why? So Rashi explains, because asharis neiman, when you use that stone, you may cut hairs in that area. As Tosfos, even if you cut hair, it's a davar shein miskaven. You don't intend to cut the hair. Your intention is to open up the rectum. So Tosfos says, it's a psik reisha. It's impossible to use the stone without cutting hair. And we know that even if you hold Dovah Shedem Eskaven as Mutter, but we said many times, a Psik Reisha is awesome. Ask the Ritva, yes, it's a Psik Reisha, but it's a Psik Reisha Delay Nichalei. It's a Psik Reisha that he doesn't want. He doesn't want the hairs to be torn. And we learned that even if a Psik Reisha is awesome, if it's a Psik Reisha Delay Nichalei, it doesn't have the status of Psik Reisha. So what's Pshat? So Ritva has a whole different Pshat in the Gemara. The Ritva learns Pshat in the Gemara is that you're not allowed to use these stone on Shabbos because you may, before using you may polish them, smooth them out, and it will be the Issa Mamachik. But Rashi and Tosfos learn the problem is Asharis Neiman. Ask the Gemara, so we're telling you don't use it. Mask of La Mazutra, Listakin. If a person is constipated, he could be in danger. We just leave it that way. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to use it. Just do it Kalachia, don't do it in a normal fashion. And like we explained many times, when you do a melacha not in the normal fashion, there is no deraisa. Amar Rav Yana continues the Gemara. Im yesh lo mukam kavu l'beisakise, if the person has let's remember, they didn't have bathrooms in the houses. They went to the bathroom outdoors. But if a person has a place that he normally uses, then malei hayad, he could take out a fistful of stones. Im lav, if he's going to a place that isn't a designated spot for a bathroom, kehechra. You could take out hechra. So Rashi explains, hechra means a compromise. Machria, right? We say in Kabbalah every morning, Dava Machria. Which means like this. It means, he says you could take out the size of a walnut. Why is a walnut considered a compromise? Because it's bigger than a kazayas, and it's smaller than a kabeya. So it's in the middle. So I'm making a compromise position. You could take out a nut the size of you could take out a stone the size of a walnut. Meducha ketana shel besamim. So says the Gemara, if you have a small mortar that you use to grind spices, omrav sheshes, so it's muksa. And you're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos because you're not allowed to grind spices. But let's say you want to use this pestle, this mortar, for the bathroom. Im yeshalei ed, if it has marking on it that it was already previously used for cleaning in the bathroom, the mutter, then there's no problem. So Rashi says, why is this muksa? It's muksa, which is a klisha malachtel iser. It's used for grinding spices, and grinding spices is Osir and Shabbos. Ask Shem Kivega. Yes, it's a klish malachtel iser. But when we learned the halachas of klish malachtel iser, we said, L'tzorech gufoy mekoymoy, you're allowed to move a klish malachtel iser. Why are you moving this stone? You're moving the stone because you need it to clean yourself. So it's l'tzorech gufoy. So even if it's a klish malachtel iser, I should be allowed to move it. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva Geiger says that it's not muks because it's klish malach del iser. It's muks because it's a muksa machnas chsar and kis. It's something valuable to you that you wouldn't use for a different use. And something that's muks because it's machnas chsar and kis, there is no heter of letzarech gufay. That's why the Gemara says, unless it was previously designated. And how do I know that it was previously designated? Because it has marking on it, therefore I can't use it. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how could you use to clean yourself in the bathroom something that was previously used? The Brisa says a sarm dvar maybe it's odim l'day tachtonius. 10 things cause hemorrhoids. Ve'elahim ha'echel alig kanim, somebody eats the reeds, the leaves that grow by reeds, alig fanim, wine leaves, v'lulav gafanim, the shoots that grow off on a wine tree, or merige behema b'loy melech, non-smooth meat of an animal that wasn't salted, the shidroi shel dag, the skeleton of a fish, the dag meliach shel bishul kol tzarchoi, herring that wasn't completely processed, the shoisei shimer yayin, somebody drinks the leaves or the wine, the sediment on the bottom, the kaneach besid b'charsis, somebody uses lime or brick to clean himself, or b'tzroa shekinech b'chaveroi, or he uses what was used by somebody else. Somebody, when he uses the bathroom, doesn't sit, he just squats. But what we see here is you're not supposed to use something that was used previously. So how could the Gemara say that it's not a problem to carry it on Shabbos if it was used previously? So the Gemara says three terutzim. Loi kasha, ha b'lach, ha b'yavish. Why are you not allowed to use a previously used stone when the use is still moist? If it's dried out, it's no problem. The stone has two sides to it. So the side that was already previously used, you may not use, or bring hemorrhoids. But the side that wasn't used is fine. You're not allowed to use a stone that was used by somebody else. But what you used, you're allowed to reuse. You have the stone that has on it the markings. Now it's rained. When it rained, when it attached the shoes. So the markings dissipated. Mahu, may you still use the stone, or does it lose its status of a stone for bathroom and it's muksa? Amalei, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, imhayru shuman nikar, if it still has a marking on it, that it's obvious that it was used for the bathroom, it loses its muksa status and its mutter. Continues the Gemara, bamine rabba barav shela mi rav chizda, ma'ala loisim akrav lagag. So the way Rashi explains is like this, yes, we relax the isra muksa because a person needs to use those stones to clean himself. But we know on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be matriach yourself. You're not allowed to exert. Here, are you allowed to carry those stones up to the roof? If you're going to use you're going to go to the bathroom on the roof, and you have to schlep the stones up, did Chazal allow that or not? Taisus doesn't like that pshat. Taisus says, if we relax muksa, we relax this also. Amalei, gol kvar abriyas, the issue of respect for people is so great that we find that it's doicha lav b'toyra. What's the lav? So Rashi quotes, there's a halach in the Torah of Hashavas Aveda, that if I find my friend's item that's lost, Hashavas Aveda says that I have to return to him. But the pasuk of the parish of Hashavas Aveda says v'salam t'mehem. Sometimes you can make yourself like you don't see it. So says the Gemara Metzia, when? Zokavein alfi kvaydo. If it's not respectable for me, I find your thing, that I wouldn't carry this if it was mine, I don't have to carry if it's yours. So why? Because kavod habris. Even though there's a mitzvah to do a Shabbos Aveda, not when it's at somebody's self-respect. Here too, because of respect, we relax the isser of muksa, we relax the isser of tircha, of taking something up to the roof. So I want to say two things. First of all, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks a great question. He asks, what does the Pasuk V'Salam T'Mehem say? That I don't have to return your item. But I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just not doing something. It's a Sheva Al Taisa. Here, it's a Kovasei. I'm actually carrying Muksa. So how could I bring a Raya from V'Salam T'Mehem where I'm just sitting passively to our case where I'm doing something actively that's wrong? So the Mefarshim explained, the shot in the Gemara is like this. From V'Salam T'Mehem, we see how far the Torah thinks about Kavod HaBriyos. The Kavod HaBriyos is a factor, it's a concept in the Torah. Once it's a concept, we say that Chazal, who did make an Issa Muksa, did not make it when Kavod HaBriyos is at stake. The Tzitz Eliezer uses this Gemara la'aloch l'maisa. He asks, what's the aloch if somebody's allowed to wear a hearing aid, put on a hearing aid, wear a hearing aid on Shabbos, assuming that it's muksa? So he says, since a person who's hard of hearing without his hearing aid is sort of embarrassed, he can't really function, God will cover HaBriyos, and you're allowed to wear a hearing aid and put it on because of this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Yosef and Reim will come to Lahal Shematza. Reim was sitting and said this Gemara. Esravina Ramemah, Sravina asked Meremah, Rabbi Leza Oimer, Noitl Odom Kisim Shulfanov, Lachzba Shinov. A person can pick up a splinter of wood to clean his teeth because it's embarrassing to walk around with pieces of meat between your teeth. Kavod HaBriyos. The Chum Maimrim, the Chum say no. Layito element of Avishal Behema. Only from the splinters of wood that are in the animal's bag that he's eating from. So it's animal food, it's not muksa. Otherwise, splinters of wood are muksa and you can't move it. So you see that Kavod HaBriyos doesn't relax the Isser muksa. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. You can't compare the two situation. Hasam Adam Kavei Mokum Wasuda. Person knows he's going to eat. And a person knows when he's going to eat, he's going to need a toothpick. So he should have prepared it beforehand. Hacha, again, in their world, Adam Kavei Mokum Mabesakisei. A person doesn't know he's going to need to use this place for the bathroom. And Kavod HaBriyos says that you're allowed to take the stone to clean yourself. So let's talk a few shailas lahalocha. After we learn this Gemara. Again, it's a little hard to speak it explicitly. One thing is, that Tzitz Eliezer also says, interesting halacha. You look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says that when somebody goes to the bathroom and he has to clean himself, he should not use the right hand. He used the left hand, because the right hand we always use for mitzvahs. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Araf, and says that was only in their world where they actually use their hands to clean themselves. But if you're using paper, like we do tissue, so, and we learned in today's Gemara, Gol Kvod HaBriyos, how important it is to be respectable. If you feel that you could clean yourself better with the right hand, if you're using tissue, it's mutter. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskens, that's the way the Michsalozer paskens, Tzitz Eliezer paskens that way. Now let's talk an interesting shaila. Somebody comes to the bathroom with Shabbos, and he finds that he has no pre-cut paper. He has no tissues or pre-cut paper, he only has the roll. What's the halacha? So according to Rashi, there's no heter to cut, to tear. Because we learned on Amud Aleph, we said, that Rashi said that the only Rabbanan that was relaxed was Muksa. No other Rabbanan. So if cutting is Asr, even if it's going to be Asr, we'll talk about Midrash and Midrabbanan, it wouldn't make a difference. Rashi says the only Isr that's relaxed is Muksa. But what about Tosfos? Tosfos, we said, says that all the Rabbonins are relaxed by Kavod HaBriyos. What's going to be the halacha about tearing the toilet paper that you don't, that wasn't, because you don't have tissues prepared from before Shabbos? So if you tear it along the lines, along the perforated line, you have the problem mechatech. Mechatech is whenever you cut something to size, that's called mechatech. Although there are achrayim that say that this will not be called mechatech, because mechatech is only when you cut something to a line that you want a specific size. When you don't really care about the size, even if you're cutting it to a size, it may not be mechatech. But then you have a different problem. You have the problem of kareya. Kareya means tearing. So even if you don't tear it along the line, what's going to be the halacha? So the Ritva says that the only time we have the issa of kareya, it's al manas litfor. When you rip on the with the intention of sewing, here it's not amanas litfor, you're just tearing it without the intention of putting it together, of sewing it together. So it'll be a derabbanan, and according to Tosfos, a derabbanan is mutter because of Kavod HaBriyos. But the Rambam disagrees with Ritva. The Rambam says every kareya is asur, even if it's not amanas litfor. So it'll be a deraisa. So the Chalkas Yaakov says, according to the Rambam, you'll have to do it kalachiyad. If you do it kalachiyad, we said it on an aleph, it's always a drabbanan. But there are paiskim that say that nothing will work. Why? Because of the Gemara we just learned. The Gemara we just said that when do we relax because of Kavod HaBriyos Isser? We relaxed it when you didn't know. They didn't have a designated place for the bathroom, so the person didn't know he's going to use the place for the bathroom. But a person has a bathroom in his home, and he knows that you're going to have to use the bathroom over Shabbos. So if he didn't prepare it beforehand, it's like the splinters of wood. You have no heter. So it would be a difference if you end up in somebody else's home, or you end up in a shul and they have no prepared paper, so you had no way of knowing you're going to need that. So at least according to Tosfos, if you tear it, you'll tear the paper not along the line, not in a kalachiyat fashion. You use the left hand, you use your teeth, you know, whatever, you'll have a heter. But in your own home, you would never have a heter based on this gemara. You should have prepared before Shabbos. One more shaila, the Michtz Yitzchak says, based on this gemara, he says that the Sefer Chassidim says that a person, when he eats something on Shabbos, obviously we're not talking about the Raisa, maybe the Rabbanan, should be careful that after he eats, he should clean out the ear, if he has pieces of meat, or pieces of any food, not dafka meat, between his teeth, he should be careful to try to clean them out, because it's some sort of itza you're carrying on Shabbos, something that you don't need outside. It's not a derisive, it's a derabonin. And this is really the Gemara. The Gemara says that they cleaned their teeth before they went out. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Also lifnois b'stay near b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to relieve himself in a plowed field b'Shabbos. My tam. Ask the Gemara, what's the reason? Ilay mishum davsha, that what you're doing is you're rooting his field by having your waist go on it. Ask the Gemara, so that has nothing to do with Shabbos. I feel b'chol nami, even during the week you're not allowed to do it. Ella mishum asavim. My time, ella mishum davsha, I feel b'chol nami, ella mishum asavim. Asavim means that you have pieces, you have stone, and the stone has moss or grass that grows on it, and if you use that to clean yourself, you may take off that grass from the stone. Ask the Gemara, Vamar Shlokish, Shrosh, Olabay Asavim. If you have a stone that grass grew on it, Mutal Kanakbay, Yuladu, what do you call it, use it. That Toil Shabbat Shabbos, only if somebody specifically rips it out, Chayiv Chatas. So again, why are you not allowed to relieve yourself in a stained ear? Says the Gemara, Dilma Nokit Miloi Vishadilatatoi. What I'm worried about is that somebody may pick up a stone while he uses the Sadenir, he may pick up a stone and put it down somewhere else. So by picking up the stone, Rashi says he's Oiva Harisha, he did plowing, and by putting it down, he does Boina because he's straightening out the field. Mishum Derava. The Amarava, Hoysla Guma, if somebody had a hole, the Tamamba, the Bayis, and he closed it up, Chai Mishim Baina. He's Chai for Baina because he made the floor. Vatoilish, Besoda, and if you pick it up in a field, Chai Mishim Chayrish, because that's a form of plowing. Gufa, Amrish Lakish, Tsurash Olabay Asavim, a stone that grass grew on it, Mutal Kanechbay. You'll have to use it to clean yourself on Shabbos. If somebody actually rips at that grass, chayif chatas for Talisha. Omra Papi, Shmami Amidre Shlokish, after learning what Rish Lakish just said, he said, Hi Papisa, Sholot Altuli. You let him move a Papisa. What is a Papisa? Papisa, Rashi says, is an Otzitznokov. An Otzitznokov is a perforated flower pot. So Rashi explains, he quotes Tshuvas HaGoyim. This is the first time we find the minig of Kaporis. But Rashi has it in a very different way than what we do. What they do, Rashi said, was that for every person in the family, a couple of weeks before Rosh Hashanah, they used to plant, they used to take a perforated flower pot and plant some beans or whatever. And then every Rosh Hashanah, they used to put it around the person's head 7 times and say, Zeh tachazeh, zeh chalifasoy, zeh tamarasi, and throw it into the river. We don't do this. First of all, we do kaparas erev Yom Kippur. We don't do it every Rosh Hashanah. And second of all, we don't do it a flower pot. The issue here is, however, picking up the flower pot that's getting nourishment, because it has a perforation on the bottom, it has a hole on the bottom, picking up that flower pot is that mutter also. So he said, just like you'll pick up the stone, even though it's getting nourishment from the ground, so too you'll have to pick up the papisha. Omaskla Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana asks, im amru l'tzayrich, if we allowed you to pick up the stone that has the grass growing on it, because you needed to clean yourself because you went to the bathroom, yoymer shloy l'tzayrich, just to move a flower pot, what's the heter? Amar abaya, so abaya continues, papisa, since we're talking about the papisa, hoyel v'asul yodin, since we're discussing it, lem b'mils, let's say something about it. Hoyem munach agab karka. If a papisa was on the ground, that means you had a flower pot with a hole on it, and it was on the ground. And then you picked it up, and nicha gabi yisaydis. And you put it on pegs, mechaim shem toilish, because you're taking it away from where it has nourishment. Munach agab yisaydis, vice versa, if it was on yisaydis, v'nicha agab karka, and then you put it on the ground, chaim shem toilish, because you're planting on it because it'll have more nourishment. So there's a very big machloikis, Rashi and Rambam, and it's relevant to Laloch Lamaisa, when the Gemara says that you pick up a flower pot and you put it on the table, or vice versa, if it's called toilish, if it's called zoreya, is it midoraisa or midrabbonim? Rashi says we're certainly dealing with rabbonims. Because the only time something is called toilish midoraisa or zoreya midoraisa is when you actually plant it in the ground, or you take it out of the ground. This is the way the Divrei Yecheskel explains the Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. The Rambam says it's Chiv Deraisa. Why is it Chiv Deraisa? Because the Rambam has a very broad view of Toilish and Zareya. The Rambam's view of Toilish and Zareya is anything that causes something to grow better, or anything that stunts or weakens the growing process. So if you have a flower pot on the floor and you put it on the table, so it's not going to grow as well. When it's on the floor, it's going to grow better. So you're stunting its growth. So it's usur. On the other hand, when you have it on the table and you put it on the floor, you're making the growth better. And it'll be usur like the Rambam midoraisa. Where is this negel aloch lemaisa? The Har Tzvi says an interesting shaila. According to the Rambam, what? Right. If you have a plant, many people have plants in their houses, and it's near a window, and you have window shades by that window, and you open up the window shade to let sun go on the plant. So according to the Rambam, it may be Issa Deraisa. Because the Rambam was saying, holds, that anything that makes it grow better, doesn't have to be actually planting it, but anything that makes it grow better is considered Zareya. Or if you close the window shade, it may be Toilish, because anything that stunts the growth may be Chai. So if you close the window shade at night, so it's dark anyway, but if you close the window shade during the day, you may be stunting the growth. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yochanan, Osel Kaneich Bekcheres B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to use a piece of earthenware to clean yourself after using the bathroom on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara my time, why? Ilema Bishum Sakana, that it's Sakana to use that type of thing to clean yourself, because like Rashi explains, you may cut yourself. So then I feel B'chol Nami. So it has nothing to do during Shabbos. You're never allowed to do anything that's a sakana. Ella, Mishim HaSharas Nirim. What are we concerned? That you may cut some of the hairs. Ask the Gemara. Dov Hashem Miskaven Hu. My intention isn't to cut any hair. And since that's not my intention, why is it Asur? Amalei Rav Nosson Bar Oishia. Gavu Rabba Abba Milsa. A Choshva person, a distinguished person, said something. We can't just leave it without trying to explain it. Name Batama. We have to explain it. So he says, "Loy mibay b'chol the osur." Certainly, during the week where I have other items that I could use, I shouldn't use it. But I feel b'Shabbos. But if b'Shabbos, but by Shabbos, you're right. There is a sakana in using this. But maybe I should say, I'll forego the concern of sakana. I'll use this, where there is no problem of muksa, versus using stones, where there is a problem of muksa. Hoyo v'ikatar is clear love. This at least is a muksa. And I, it's sakana. Let it be sakana. I don't want to be mechal b'Shabbos. Kamash Milan, no. You have no heter. Rava masnilei, mishum asharas nimin. Rava said the reason you're not allowed to use a piece of earthenware is because asharas nimin. And it's a davish amayim skavin. That's why the kashlei Rabbi Yochanan. He had a steerer between different statements Rabbi Yochanan made. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan? He asked. Did Rabbi Yochanan say also lekanach becheres b'Shabbos? That you're not allowed to use a piece of earthenware to clean yourself on Shabbos because you may cut some hairs. Almas, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan holds the Dovashed Miskavin, that something that you did even without intent is Osir Vom Rabbi Yochanan. We have a different statement Rabbi Yochanan made. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that Aloch Kistam Mishnah. We always follow a Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah. And we learned the Tanan, we quoted this, it's a Mishnah Masechta Nazir, Nazir Chayf Mepaspis. A Nazir could shampoo his hair. We know that Aloch is, that a Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. But Aloch is a nozer to smooth out his hair. Umefaspis is also like brush it. Avloi soirik. He's not allowed to comb it with a comb. Why? Brushing with a soft brush or just smoothing it out, you're not intending any hair will come out. So even if hair comes out, it's a davashen meskavin. And this Mishnah, which Rabbi Yochanan is passing like, holds a davashen meskavin as mutter. When you use a comb, where it's the psik ratio that hair will come out, then and only then is it Osir. What do we see from this Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan holds that a Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutter. So now we have a Stira. Here he says you're not allowed to use the earthenware to clean yourself because you may cut hair. And even though it's a Dov Hashem Miskavin, he still says it's Osir. Yet he paskins that another could smooth out his hair, and even though hair may come out, it's a Dov Hashem Miskavin, it's Mutter. El Machvata, it must be the reason. So that can't be the reason. It must be Krav Nosim Bar Oishia, like we explained a moment ago. Mike Kshofim. So the Gemara says that using this could cause Kshofim. Why is Kshofim? Ki Hadar of Chizav Rabbi Rav Huna have a Ka'ozla Ba'arba. They were going on a ship. This woman, non-Jewish woman, said to them, Oysumai Daichu, I'd like to travel along with you. V'loi Oysfa. But they didn't want her to come along. Omru ihi milsa, so she said something kishif, sorcery, asr shal arba, and what that did was it made that the ship should not be able to move. Omru inu milsa, so they said something shayuha, and they moved it. So Rashi right away asks, how did they get it to move? They must have done kishif, but the halach is that you're not allowed to do kishif. So how could have they done kishif just to counteract her? So Rashi says that they didn't use kishif. Rashi says they used a shem tahara. They used some sort of a shem tahara, something which wasn't kishif. Ask the Bnei Yisoscha, the Menachem Meshev Nefesh quotes this, ask the Bnei Yisoscha, if they had a shem tahara, which is an antidote against kishif, so why doesn't the Gemara say it? The Gemara should tell us what it is. We want to know what it is. So there's a vart from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, Omru inu milsa. Milsa, really, in the original printing of the Gemara, it had milsa with a apostrophe. And the real word was mem lamet sof. What is that? Machshefa loy sechaya. That if you have, if somebody tries to do kishav against you, say the words machshefa loy sechaya, and it'll work. Shayua, and that's how they got the boat to move. So this woman said, I can't do anything against you. Why? Because you do certain things that prevent kishif from affecting you. What are they? You don't clean yourself after using the bathroom with a earthenware. If a louse, if lice come on your clothing, you don't kill them while you're wearing the clothing. The Mepharshim explained, you certainly take off the lice, but they don't take it off while they're wearing the clothing. But this means it's like this. Sometimes you have a bunch of vegetables. See, they sell scallions that way. What they did was they were careful that if they wanted to take a group of vegetables that were bunched together, they didn't just schlep out that vegetable they wanted from the bunch and eat it. What they did was they opened up the bunch, and then they took the vegetable they wanted. You don't schlep out a vegetable and eat it that way, mikisha, from the bundle, the osiginoa that the gardener tied together. Rather, you open up the bundle and then take out the vegetable. Because these three things, said this woman, make a person susceptible to the ill effects of kishif. These people were careful to do things that didn't let Kishuv affect them. Another pshat Mefarshim say is that the reason they were allowed to do something against her was because you're only allowed to do Kishuv just to do Kishuv. But if you're doing Kishuv just to protect yourself from somebody who has put a spell on you, then it's mutter.